We praise Him for His power. We praise Him for His presence. We praise Him for His provisions. We praise Him. Amen. We're here tonight to pray and worship together. And maybe you guys don't know this, but I'm the more Pentecostal of the Heitzigs. And so you have my permission to say amen, preach it, sister, or whatever it is that you need to say tonight, because it's okay. And there will be gaps in this lesson for audience participation. So I'm going to want you to call out some answers. So, you know, come on, shake it off. You can do this. You can say words, you know, certain words that come out. So you have my permission. Also, this evening, we have a lot of AV, some photos, because I want some of these truths to be burned into your brains. That is my hope, because I know that God can demolish strongholds. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for these women who've given up their time. And you know what? You tell us to seek Your face with all our hearts, to call on the Lord while He may be found. And so, Lord, we're calling on You tonight. We're seeking You with all our hearts, Lord. We hunger for You. We thirst for You. We confess there are empty places You need to fill. And there's some full places You need to empty. And so, Lord, would You take care of that? Will You do the business? We invite You here. And it's all for Your kingdom and all for Your glory. And we said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the lesson this evening is demolishing strongholds. So I just wanted to start with demolishing. What does that mean? It means to destroy, to topple, to flatten, and to bulldoze. I don't know, let me behind a bulldozer, because I would just love to do that sometime. How many of you have seen the footage this week of Detroit City? There was a classic hotel that they demolished, they imploded it. Did anyone see that? Well, if you haven't, you're going to see it now. So look at the screens. Now, do you hear them? Whoa! Did you see that thing come down? I'm thinking that's what happened with you last week, right? Those walls and strongholds came down. Uh-oh. But what happened afterwards? It left a pile of junk. And this week, we want to clear away the debris. That's what's happening this week. Last week was deliverance. This week is demolition. And we've got a demolition crew here. They have deliverance tags on. You need to get rid of some junk. Find them. They will bring the bulldozers. Last week we exposed things. This week we want to dispose of those things. Last week we prayed. This week you're going to practice your faith. Last week we identified what in your life is a stronghold. What in your life is sin? This week, how do I walk in this newness of life? Last week was the changed life. This week is the exchanged life. So demolish means destroy, topple, flatten, bulldoze. Stronghold describes a fortress and was used in reference to a hiding place. And in scripture, it often referred to David when he was hiding from Saul. That's the context it was used in. Raise your hand if last week you recognize a stronghold with Eileen and Victor. God bless you. And God bless, Lord, bless Eileen and Victor. Thank You for their ministry. Use them more and more and more as we see the day coming. Fill them, Lord. Bless them. We thank them for the work they did here. Well, we want to bulldoze away the debris that was left from that. You see, once the Lord reveals a stronghold and it comes down, some of us may feel very vulnerable because the places we used to hide aren't there anymore. And honestly, a lot of us start to identify with strongholds. What we knew in that pain, what we knew in that label, what we knew in that was part of our identity. We kind of liked it. Now we're like, now what? I'm not that anymore? Well, what am I? And that's what we want to do. So where do you go when you want to find this? Psalm 18, 2 and 3. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You've left one to, amen, you've left one to run to the other. God is your stronghold. And I have to tell you, God's pulled down many strongholds in my life. And I'm going to confess one that I've tiptoed around in the past with you, but I haven't always been straight up. But before I got saved, the Lord pulled down sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's my BC. But after I got saved, I struggled with fear, depression, and anxiety. Fear, anyone? Depression, anyone? Anxiety, worry, same word. Women, I don't know why, but we're so susceptible to this in our lives. And I got to be honest with you. There were times that I promise I would never have committed suicide, but I begged God to take me because I didn't want to live if that's what it felt like. Anybody here? I know that awful feeling. And when you're in fear and depression and anxiety, I tell you, I've had physical, I've had chemotherapy, I've had surgery, I've had broken legs, all kinds of things. I would rather hurt physically than emotionally. I would take that any day over those wounds that are inside. And I yelled into the air. I've punched pillows. I've done everything I could think of. If you could have repented away depression, I would have done it. Because I was on my knees groveling. I went to like four different counselors. If there was a way just to like, stop it, I repent, whatever it is, I'll give it up, I promise. If I could have praised it away at that moment, I would have done it. But there was something else I needed in my life, and I believe I have some tools for you, some very practical tools. And you know, guilt and shame keeps us from saying it out loud. How many of you have ever admitted in an audience or to other people that this is what you suffer from? Probably not a lot of you. But something in Scripture that I've practiced faithfully for years set me free. And not just for a night, not just for a moment, but for my life. I do not walk in fear, anxiety, and depression any longer. That is not who I am. And the text we're using this evening, that we are just going to take two verses and pull them apart and look at them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, Paul is saying, I beg you. So I'm going to beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I'll call you sistern, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Can I get an amen just because that scripture stands by itself? It doesn't really even need anything. You could unpack that by the power of the Spirit. But we're going to unpack it. It has four truths that we're going to look. Get informed, not conformed, be transformed, stay reformed. Four simple truths from that. And the first is, it says in verse 1, present your bodies, literally yourselves, a living sacrifice. Now these truths that I've known for years, and I've always wanted to impart them, but I just never had the chance to put it all in a lesson. And as I was getting this lesson ready, I go, honey, what do you describe this kind of teaching? Because it's familiar. I've heard so many people. And he goes, honey, it's the theology of anthropology. Do you know what anthropology is? The study of man. And I want to tell you right now, here's one stronghold. The world keeps studying man and telling us we came from apes. And telling us to do what our heart wants to do. Or, baby, I was born that way. And these are lies from the pit of hell. And there is theology of anthropology in God's word. He made man. He knows man. He knows who you are, what you are. He knows your frame, that you are but dust. He knows your thoughts from afar. You're down sitting, you're uprising. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows you by name, counts the hair on your head, and puts your tears in a bottle. There is a theology of anthropology that you must know to demolish strongholds. So I'm going to start right there. God is a Trinity. We know him as Father, Holy Spirit. That's right. The Great Commission says, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We, as humans, are created in God's image. And we are a trinity of sorts. Theologians will call it, I don't know, they could be theologians. That theologians say that we are tripartite is the name in theology, which means that we are a trinity of soul, spirit, and body. There are three parts of us. And many Christians don't understand the difference between their soul and their spirit. And this is where a lot of you get stuck in your strongholds. Hebrews 4:12, we've quoted it. The word of God is living and powerful and able to divide between soul and... Oh, he can divide between a soul and a spirit? And piercing even to the division of the joints and marrow. That would be your body. God knows what's body, what's soul, what's spirit, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. There you go. This is the theology of anthropology in one verse. And do you know, when you impact one part of you, did they put up the thing of the concentric circles? Humans are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. That is how you create it. And do you know that sometimes when you impact one part of you, the other part is impacted? For instance, Victor explained abuse that I could never understand, perhaps survived or known. Something happened to his body as a child. Did it impact his soul? Oh, you bet. That's where those wounds were, right? Because some things happen to our body. Did you know that abuse victims suffer between 40 and 60% of them with eating disorders? A lot of people come to counselors for anorexia or obesity, and they find out the problem is something happened to them. Now, why is this important? Because some people use anorexia or obesity to take away their gender and their attraction ability, so no one else will ever look at them that way, and they hide behind that. Are you hearing me? Something happened to the body that impacted the soul and the spirit. Now, our body, the definition is the physical part of man, whether dead or alive. This is my body. You guys have one? It is this shell. It comes from the Greek word soma. Do you know how you translate the Greek word soma? Corpse. Because really, it is a stinking tent of flesh that you drag through you, and gravity, and age, and hair color, and long hairs on your chin, and ears that get bigger, and stuff happens to the body. Right? I like to look at it, it is a corpse, period. And did you know that you can yield your corpse for good or for evil? It says in Romans 6:13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the dead to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. These hands can hurt or heal. And so you have an opportunity with your body. The second part is your spirit. Spirit, when spelled with a capital S in Scripture, always refers to God. It's used with a small s, and sometimes it refers to demons. Sometimes it refers to animals. But when it's referred to humans, that is the part of us that is the inner core. It is the place where salvation and regeneration happen. That is the place that comes alive with Christ. It says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself, capital S, bears witness with our spirit, small s, that we are children of God. You know you are God's children and have come alive when your spirit comes alive. Therefore, ladies, you can really be a corpse that is alive but dead. Oh, the Walking Dead. I don't know, does anybody else there watch that? Come on, don't leave me out here alone. Skip hates it. Because they just keep killing those things. You know, it's bloody. And I don't know why they scare me when they come out of the corners. I watch it. You can be the living dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we have the body, we have the spirit. Now let's look at the soul. The soul you saw in our circle up there has three parts. The soul is the inner self that refers to the seat of emotions, our thoughts, our personality, our decision-making ability, and our will. It is first used in Genesis 2:7. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. His soul. Now, if the Spirit is where we communicate to God, the Spirit comes alive. When you pray, it's your Spirit talking to God's Spirit. When you hear things and you know it's that still small voice, it's His Spirit speaking to your Spirit. When you read the Scripture and it comes alive, it's His Spirit speaking to your Spirit. Do you know what the soul is the avenue of? Warfare. This is where the enemy likes to attack. He can never have your spirit because God has redeemed you. He has taken you. He has saved you. Nothing but light can dwell in your spirit, but your soul is an avenue of attack. Just so in 1 Peter 2:11 it says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. There are things that war against your soul. Now, last week, Eileen said this thing, attachment, and some of you got confused. Like, no, we cannot be possessed by demons. And this attachment idea, I have a godly friend, very wise, and she looked up these words. Attachment, number one, means connected or joined to something. I look at it as I have a garage attached to my house. My house isn't the garage. My garage is in my house, but they're attached. And so she said, you might look at this as sometimes we get attached to the enemy's lies. His lies get in and start disturbing our soul. Number two definition of attachment is emotionally connected. You get attached to people. I'm kind of attached to you. We've been friends for a long time. It's having strong feelings of affection. Perhaps this is when you start believing the enemy's lies and you... oh, the precious. Oh, must have the precious. And so now you're coddling and you're taking, oh, I love the precious. And so, you know, you start taking these lies and you're like, well, I can't help it. You know, when I was little, this happened to me. Oh, you just see, I think C.S. Lewis must have. Was that C.S. Lewis or Tolkien? Thank you, Tolkien. Oh, gosh, smarty pants right over there. Smarty pants alert right in this section. Well, anyway, when he did that Gollum, that's like a soul starved and greedy and every lie has been lodged in there. Are you with me? Do people watch those Lord of the Rings? Anybody? Okay. Okay. So if you want to run the race with endurance, it is very hard to run a race when you have something attached to you. Right? The precious. And you're dragging that thing around. Right? Okay, so I'm getting ready for a race. Hey, you guys, think these are the shoes I'm going to wear? No. Hey, I'm ready for a race. You think I'm going to wear jewelry that could come up and hit me in the face? Probably not. If I'm in a race, I got on my shoes. I'm lightweight. I'm ready. Well, sometimes we take those weights and sins that so easily beset us, that hinder us from the race. So your soul has three parts. You will see up here. The soul is mind, will, and emotions. That is what is in your soul. Mind, emotions, and will. I don't know. Soul's supposed to be in the middle of that, and up on soul, it's supposed to be emotions. So I'm not sure what happened there. But just cross out soul, put in will, your will, W-I-L-L, and then put soul in the middle. I don't know what happened. But anyway, emotions. Sometimes we call our emotions our heart. But you have to be careful in Scripture because God in Scripture uses some of these terms interchangeably. So last, like I said, your heart, when your heart, anytime your heart, because in Scripture, heart often is your mind and your heart. So I'm going to pull them apart just so you can examine them. And then if you want to put different labels on them later and put them back together and come and tell me, no, the heart is the head and da-da-da, I know. I'm just making this so you can understand it. Your emotions slash heart in the Bible, all emotions are experienced in the heart. You hate with the heart. You love with the heart. You sorrow with the heart. You have joy with your emotions. The second part of our soul is our mind. This is the part of the person that thinks, understands, or reasons. We often think that our minds are neutral. That is not what Scripture teaches. Your minds are not neutral. They can be good or evil. What's going on in your mind? And the will, it describes the part of man that wishes, desires, chooses, makes a purpose, has volition. So those are the three parts of us. So when I was a little girl, I go, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. What are you giving God when you're doing that? Everything, your body, your thoughts, your emotions, and your decision-making capabilities. Why, ladies, I think we need to bring that bit prayer. Tonight, you can pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. Do you realize how valuable your soul is and what you want him to keep? To protect, to set aside. So this is the theology of anthropology. So this is the part to be informed. The next part is to not conform. It says in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Well, that must mean that you can be conformed to this world. It can mean that your mind can be on the world, your heart can be on the world, and your choices and your will can make worldly, fleshly, carnal choices. Now, a lot of us want to say, the devil made me do it, and I need deliverance. But I want to tell you, your flesh will make you do it too. Your self, your sin nature. And so it's nice to come and get some deliverance from Satan. You might need to be delivered from your own self. Okay? So, our bodies have five doors that access our brains. And I was going to make you tell me, what are the doors? Eyes and ears and mouth and nose, head, shoulders, knees and toes. Right? That's pretty much it. Sight, sound, smell, touch, taste. Again, these childhood rhymes are so helpful. Because how do things get in your brain? Very simply, just think that song. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Right? About covers it. So it is the mind where your old sinful nature and your new glorified nature meet. That's war. Because there's a battle. And I'm so excited we're in Ephesians. Like Larissa said, Ephesians covers so much of this. So I pray you come back. Ephesians 4:22. Put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man in true righteousness. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Literally, you get to change your clothes. Woo! This may be the only happy moment right now for those of you who like fashion, because I'm going to just slay it in a minute. But woo! We get to change some clothes right here. We can put off and we could put on, is the idea. Now, what we can put off and what we can put on is sometimes, let's see that brain again. This is your brain. This is your brain on the world. I just want you, you know when they did the eggs, this is your mind. This is your mind on drugs. This is your mind. This is your mind on the world. And when we say world, we do not mean the planet. We are not trying to save Mother Earth. When we say the world, it is the present sinful age. That's what's being described here. Now, before they put up the thing, because I don't want you guys, here's the audience participation. What are some things the world might want to put into your mind? Fear? Lies? Lust? Worry? Depression? Anger? Greed? Vanity, pride, that's a bad one. Okay, so it's not so hard for you guys to understand, do not conform to this world, right? Because it's not hard to explain what the world is. Ephesians 2:2 says, you once walked according to the course of this world. Oh, listen to who's in it. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedient. So where is the enemy? He's in the world. He's the prince of the power of air, and he's working in all the bad guys. He's just rolling it up. Worldly pursuits, according to the scripture, can be entertainment, fashion, vocabulary, music, attitudes. Now, this is really hard for me, because when you try and balance what the world is and not come off legalistic, how can I name something that I say Christians should never? And all of you are like, that's not true. Not in my backyard. But I don't know. When I was a little girl, come on, baby. Okay, maybe when my mom was a little girl. Let's do the twist. And that was so scandalous. Are you guys scandalized right now? Okay, well, I'm thinking, I hate twerking. I don't really like Miley Cyrus. I don't think you want to see me twerk. That's all I've got to say about that. Okay, so I think that somewhere in there is a definition of worldliness. Now, I'm not purporting that we should all wear burkas. But really, your husbands and sons do not want to see you dressed in a bikini on Facebook. It could stumble them. Just saying. Now, I have a bikini, but I use it in the back yard. That's where I was going. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I use it in the backyard when my dogs are there. Pretty much. Okay, so you get it. Do not conform. Do you know what the word conform means? Masquerade. Putting on an act. Putting on airs. This is my own definition. Being a big time poser. I don't know. Here's a better translation of this passage. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Just because Miley does it doesn't mean you need to do it. Know what I'm saying? Just because all the other kids are doing it doesn't mean you need to do it. Just because it's on someone else's playlist and Justin Bieber's cool doesn't mean you got to drop your pants or show your crack or nothing like that. I don't know. This is a really hard topic, so I'm dealing with it with humor. I'm just trying to be humorous. I pray for Justin Bieber. And you know what? I have Instagram friends. I have virtual friends who are friends with Justin and pray with him and preach to him. So I'm praying for him. Not picking on anybody. Okay? Okay. Let me explain something that might help this. When I first got saved, one day the Lord told me I lived on the beach in Laguna. Beautiful. And one day the Lord said, go out and pray. And I had been fasting and I was walking and I saw these two guys. And the Lord said, go witness to them. So I went over and witnessed to them and they got saved. Surprise! I wasn't expecting that to happen. And I invited them to church with all my friends. They came to church. Surprise! And at church they didn't have Bibles. So some of my friends bought them Bibles. Amazing! And then we find out they have no place to live. So I have two roommates and we say, well, why don't you just come live in our living room? You can roll out some sleeping bags. We've got two showers and it's all cool because I'm operating in my gift of hospitality and love. Some of you are parents and grandparents. So I called my dad and I said, Dad, we witnessed to these guys. They're saved. They come to church. They have Bibles. And he goes, where are they staying? In my living room. And he goes, kick them out. Where is your Christian love? You should love others as you love yourself. The second commandment, God, you know, love your neighbor, Dad. This is the scripture he said to me. Do not let your good be spoken evil of. You live in a neighborhood, Lenya, and you have a reputation, and they know three single girls who are Christians live there. How's it going to look if these guys are coming in and out? Now, number one, that was pretty hard to argue with, although I think we could make an argument, but I'm not going to. The second thing that made it hard for me to argue with is, he's my dad. I think there might be a Ten Commandment. One of them that says, honor your father and mother. All bets were off. They needed to move out. So, when your mind is on the world, this is what your heart looks like. See, Miley sticks out her tongue and twerks. No. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? He knew your thoughts, he knew your heart, and he put them together and said, this is what it looks like when it's on the world. Now, conformed minds lead to corrupt hearts. So if you're thinking about the things that you just all yelled out, how do you think your heart feels on the world? Emotions. Depressed. Anxious. Fearful. Insecure. Guilty. Shame. Wanting. Lust. Okay. That's what your heart looks like when you meditate on the world. So I can't tell you you shouldn't twerk. I can't tell you you can't show. I don't know what I can tell you. But I want the Holy Spirit to tell you, okay? That is really the best answer to that. But I will say this has blown my mind. I've gotten to know through Victor, who you met last week, and Dave Eubank, my jungle friend, Dave, who is a ranger, is here Wednesday night. Come hear him, because they're like my bros. They're my strong bros. And so anyway, I have found out from these guys who have skills. They've got Liam Neeson skills. I have skills that I could track you down and do bad things, okay? So there are skills that intelligence people use. They have these logarithms and computer programs where they could take somebody like you or me and follow our Facebook and our Instagram and our Twitter. And they can put cookies on your computer and find out what websites you've been to. And they see the photographs. Selfie! Me! Ah! You know, it's I'm having a dorm party. Selfie! And whoa! They can put all of that stuff together and create a profile. Now, if humans can do that, do you think the prince of the power of the air got your number? That he can take and look at what you're doing. He's not omniscient. He's not, doesn't know everything. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. But trust me, he's watching. And he can dangle the bait. I just wanted to show you a profile of someone you might be interested in. This is the personality profile of Vladimir Putin. And basically, it says down there, he is an ambitious, hostile enforcer. I think that pretty much sums it up. With what's happening in the Ukraine and other parts of the world. They can go on and do these things. And I'm just saying, maybe there's some things you don't want in a profile. Maybe there's some things that you have given the enemy a foothold. Because you know what? Footholds turn into strongholds. That's what happens. So, that is not to be conformed. Whew, thank goodness. Be transformed by renewing your mind is the second part of that verse. Now, many have attempted to enumerate the commands in scriptures. Jewish sages say there's about 613. Over half of them are do nots. So when that command is do not conform, that's a lot of nots. And the nots can overwhelm you. There's about one for every day of the week of something you shouldn't do. I'm glad Moses on the Mount Sinai got 10 commandments, because that just really helps my little pea brain that can't think of all 613 of them. And I love Jesus even more because he said 1 plus 1 equals 10. So if you only do two of those commands, you got the rest of them covered. So these commands. Now, the do not commands are kind of hard. I know we don't think they are, but they are. Eve couldn't resist one. One, do not eat of the tree of good and evil. Made her crazy. Has anybody ever told you do not? I think Pandora, just don't open the box. Do not open the box. Here's the point. Do nots are tempting. Right now, I command you, do not think of rainbow unicorns. Do not see white horses with fluffy wings flying through here with rainbows coming out about them with a pearlescent horn. Whatever you do, don't think about unicorns. Is there anyone here not thinking about a unicorn? Because sure as you tell your kid do not, they will. It's almost like a law of nature that is the flesh. And the point is, it's very hard to replace a bad habit unless you form a good one. Do not conform to this world. Be transformed by renewing your mind. God has something he'd like to put there. So again, here is your mind. See him? He's that running, cute little mind. And it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And that was something Eileen quoted last week. Okay, your mind. Your mind is where feelings arise from your thoughts, your attitudes, your judgments. Your mind can be neutral, remember, good or evil. And let me give you some examples. Ferris wheels. Who hates them? Who loves them? What you think about a Ferris wheel really impacts how you feel about a Ferris wheel. Usually people who think, whoa, that's so much fun, whoa, they have fun. And puzzles, jigsaw puzzles. Anybody out there like those? Anybody out there hate those? You just kind of want to hit the table? Yeah, because what you tell yourself informs how you feel, what you put in your brain. So you can put your brain plus God's word, right? And what are some things you find in God's word that your brain should be thinking about? Peace, truth, love, forgiveness, obedience, mercy, self-control. Okay, you got the idea. Your brain should be thinking about some other things. Philippians puts it like this in chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, listen, and the God of peace will be with you. Let that settle in. Your brain plus the world equals bleh. Your brain plus the word equals yay. Now, compare the difference of Job and David and their thought lives. Job said, when I think about this, I am terrified and trembling seizes my body. When you're thinking about certain things, ladies, you will be terrified. You will be fearful. You will be anxious. You will be worried. David, Psalm 63:6. On my bed I remember you, God. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Right? Are you connecting the dots? What you think, add those elements, and you are going to have a heart that feels these emotions. My conclusion is, emotions are in your control. What you think impacts how you feel. Do you want to change your mood? Change your mind. In Scripture, the battle is for your mind. Because if the enemy can distort the thoughts and have you doubting and denying and distracted, then you are going to have an unsettled heart. Your heart gets unsettled and you're going to act out and you're going to do things with your body you shouldn't do and feel things you don't want to feel. So they're in your control. We make emotions the engine of our trains when they should be the caboose. Now, I've got to tell you, there are some times when I wake up in the morning, this will be hard to believe, and I don't like Skip Heitzig. He was stealing the covers all night long, kept putting his cold feet on me. He snored. His breath stinks. Poor Skip. Really, he's perfect. His breath never stinks. As a matter of fact, it smells like rainbow unicorns. Just kidding. But anyway, so I wake up in the morning and I go, I don't love him. I mean, really, based on what I'm thinking, I'm not really feeling the love. Anybody here? Come on. Okay, so now, do I get up and I tell Skip, I hate you. I don't like you. Get out of my bed. Get out of my house. No. No, 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 no. Because just as you can meditate on the world, there's an opposite of that. And so what are some things that your heart could have? Hint, fruit of the Spirit. Right. And did you know love is also a choice? Not a feeling? Did you know peace is a choice? Not a feeling. Because there are people who are peaceful in the midst of war. It's what you think about your situation that informs your heart what to feel. You are not a victim. Oh, amen, of your emotions. Can I get it? You are not a victim of your emotions. I am not a victim of my emotions. No, you're not. Because if you change your mind and think on the things of God, be transformed by renewing your mind. Example, after chemo, you guys know I had cancer. It was, I don't know, my third or fourth round, and they get worse as you have more rounds. And I just felt crummy. And then I felt crummy. And then I felt like, why me? I mean, really, how could this happen? Oh, it's a cruel, cruel world. How and why would God, and if he loved me, and man, I feel sick to my stomach. And it was, you know, okay, I'm just giving you my example. Now, it's okay, I did have chemo, and that does make you sick, so I'm not picking on people, okay, if you had that. I'm just showing you what was happening in my mind. And I called my doctor friend, Vicky, and she goes, how are you feeling? I go, I feel terrible. And she goes, I'll tell you what. Every 5 minutes for the next hour, I want you to tell yourself, I feel better. Now, really, if hands could go through phones, I would have choked her. Maybe cold cocked her. I'm not sure which would have been the flesh. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? Take two aspirins and call me in the morning. I think I feel better now. And so I did it, and guess what? I felt better. About an hour later, I was feeling better. Because your mind is a terrible thing to waste. And you can use it for good. Now, I want to move to the stay reformed. Because some of you are like, oh man, this is hard work. You mean I have to fight all those thoughts and feelings and emotions? Right? Come on, you are feeling that about now. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, it's not a doctor who can do it. There's no human being that can help you, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ooh, what's a stronghold? Casting down arguments. Do you ever argue with God? Ever argue with your husband? Ever argue with yourself? Do it. No, don't do it. Do it. No. Okay, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Sometimes you go, God, you just don't know right. I know better than you do. Casting the arguments against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. You need to, remember, Eileen said that there were things in, oh no, was it Eileen? In your body that they run through your body and they're like the police. No, that was Dick Furman. Never mind. I transgress. I digress. So, okay, you're in the middle of this battle. You're struggling. You got this debris and you're like, now I have my brain and I have my brain. I'm not in the world and I have my brain in the Word and it equals a half. I want to introduce you to the last decisive element. Let me introduce you to Will. Everybody, this is Will. But you've got one too. And Will is the referee between your heart and mind, emotions. Will can make decisions and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care how you feel. God's word says, I believe it. I'm doing it. And it doesn't matter. Amen. We need a little more will in our lives. The will is the aspect of your soul that makes decisions. It acts with volition despite emotions and thoughts when yielded to the Holy Spirit. Yielded to the Holy Spirit. What can interrupt this downward cycle? Your will, asserted by faith, not feelings. Faith, not feelings. You assert your will by okay, you got it. And your will, this text says, can become His will. Look at the end of that. Transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Your will, His will, one will. You can know God's will when you're in His Word. And you give Him heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. You can know His will. Now I've got a prayer for you. If you don't have a willing heart, ask Him to give you one. Some of you tonight are entrenched. I am not doing it. I'm not buying it. You can't make me. If you don't have a willing heart, maybe the only prayer you need tonight is, Lord, make me willing. You know, help me. He'll answer that prayer. So to conclude, these are three simple tools, four easy steps to daily take your thoughts captive, to not conform, and to be transformed. Three tools, and they're out at our table or in the bookstore. God's Word. Everybody has to get a Bible. You all have Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, take the one underneath your chair from church. Go in the bookstore and get one. You, Skip's like, what? She gave away all the Bibles? Okay, get a Bible. Okay, I don't know. You might want to leave some money in the agape box afterwards. If you take the Bible. Anyway, get a Bible. Number one, you need the Word. Number two, you need a journal. You need to write these things down, meditate on them, memorize them, pray them. Get a journal. We have one out there. It's the She Journal. It will have a scripture for every day of the week. It'll help you pray for the United States in a year. It'll give you a meditation on God's love each month. Get a journal and your Bible. And finally, maybe a Bible concordance. Now, most Bibles have them in the back. We've also got concordances out there. And to show you what a troglodyte I am, my husband says, you know, there are apps that have Bible concordances. I'm like, oh, you mean they're free? They can get a Bible and a journal and an app for free if they've got one of those devices? Who knew? But if you're like me and you have to have a hard copy, they're out there. If not, get it on there. And this is what you do with your Bible, your journal, and your concordance. I want you to start your ask. What's your stronghold? Have you thought about it? What's your sin? Have you thought about it? What area are you vulnerable in the flesh? Where is the rubble? Me, depression, fear, depression, and anxiety, and it plagued me night and day for a long time. I cried for days for no reason, few years for no reason. This is what I did with my Bible, my journal, and my concordance. First question, what am I feeling? Okay, so you're having one of these bad times. What am I feeling? So I wrote down sad, lonely, weepy, empty. I don't know. Figure it out. Angry, hostile, you know, tense. Whatever it is, whatever your emotion, your problem is. Lust. I want it. I need it. I gotta have it. Whatever it is, what are you feeling? Number two, what is the situation? I'll give you one of my situations. It was dusk. I was sitting on the couch. I was watching the news. Skip came home from work and went straight to his office and didn't acknowledge me. Oh, you guys are going to hate Skip after this. No. Okay, so that's just the situation, right? What's going on? You know, what's the temperature? What's happening? Are you running? Are you sleeping? Are you? Where are you? Tell you what, when you suffered with depression, anybody here, when is the worst time for depression? Nighttime. Or holidays. Holidays at night are the worst. But anyway, it's like the lights go off and bing, 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 bing. It's just everything. Ah! Right? So make sure you write it down. What's the situation? Number three, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? I'll give you my examples. Skip avoids me. Just like my dad, who was divorced and not available. And he's going straight to his office, and the news is on, and it's always bad. Everything's bad. The world's bad. And, you know, at dusk is when I was sat down by my grandparents, and that's when they told me my parents were getting a divorce. Every time dusk happens, it's like, oh, something bad's coming. Okay, you with me? What am I feeling? What is the situation? What am I thinking? Last question, best question. What is the truth? Okay, let's start here. Who is the truth? Yay! And what does Jesus say the truth is? Scripture. You can be cleansed by the word, which is the truth. So when you start transforming, finding the truth, you're going to meditate on God, on Jesus, on his word. Here's some things I told myself. God will never leave me or forsake me. I don't care what happened with my parents. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, the Lord's name is to be praised. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And God has given us the love that we cry out, Abba, Father. And I start telling myself the truth. Guess what happens? Your feelings change. It happens every time. But you need to do the work. Now, when I was severely depressed, I did this every day about 10 times a day. Yes, because 2 hours later you feel bad again. And you're like, oh, Victor's prayer didn't work. It only lasted 12 hours. And now I need to get delivered again. No, no. You need to practice what you have heard. You need to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what you need to do. So I might have done it 10 times a day, then maybe a few times a week, then maybe once a month. And then before you know it, I'm not feeling like that anymore. Because I did the work with God, the word, a journal, and a Bible concordance. I want to end with this. Remember I said last week we learned about the changed life? And this week it's the exchanged life that we need to be transformed. That last week we were delivered, but the demolition crew needs to come in and clear away some of this stuff. Well, have you ever heard of praying an exchange prayer? Anybody? In Isaiah, it says that you will give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I believe when you start identifying that what you're feeling has been impacted by what you're thinking, and you start going, you know, there's some situations I think I should avoid. Every time I go on social media, I'm depressed because they all hate me and don't include me in anything. Don't go on social media! If that's what's happening to you, I mean, really! This isn't rocket science! Every time I'm listening to the radio, man, it just gets me. I start thinking of my old boyfriends and, oh, I long and I turn the radio off. For Pete's sake, this is not complicated. If when you watch TV, you see all the skinny girls from Hollywood and it makes you feel terrible about yourself because your hair's not that color, your nose isn't like that, you don't have those clothes, whatever it is, don't watch it. Don't order fashion magazines if they make you stumble. Now, it might not make me stumble. Maybe I can listen to rock and roll music and I'm groovy like that. So don't judge me. Because I'm okay. It's not my stronghold. You get what I'm saying? Don't judge other people's strongholds by your strongholds. They got their own. Worry about yours. Okay? So that's a little bit of balance there. Okay, back to the exchange life. Beauty for ashes, oil of joy for a mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want you to write down in this moment an exchanged prayer. What was your thing tonight? God, take away my fear, give me faith. Lord, take away my depression and give me delight. Lord, take away this pain and give me peace. Lord, take away this guilt and give me confidence. Do you understand? What is your problem? What is God's solution? And ask him, take it away and give me something new. That's the transformed life, that you are born again. Your old man is gone. You are new creatures in Christ. So take a minute. It's not that hard. You guys knew what the problem was when you came. You knew what the solution was when you came too. You just didn't think you could do it. But nothing is impossible with God. He can do anything. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or hope. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know where the answers are. You need to practice them. Now, in a moment of just holiness and unto the Lord, some of you need to confess those. James says, if you confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, you'll be healed. Confession is biblical. When you tell someone else what your problem is, and then you have two, a twofold cord is not easily broken, is it? Two or more are gathered in his name. There he is in the midst. There's a compelling thing for that. So now in the next minute, you don't have to, but if you'd like to turn to somebody and confess your exchange prayer, do that and pray with each other. I know you're anxious to chitty-chat, but it really was from fear to faith. So if you're not done with your turn, make sure the other person has a turn about now, because you're going to need to get to the praying part. Okay, hopefully by now you've confessed and she's confessed. Catch up, ladies, catch up. Now why don't you just pray for each other? Grab that person's hands and now pray and ask God to do what they want done in their lives. Lord, I pray for these ladies, and I thank you that they've come, Lord, and they have problems in their soul, and that really bad thoughts and feelings have plagued them. Lord, I just picture people coming in here with burdens and weights that they have carried for a very long time, that they have accommodated them, made room for them, attached themselves to them, allowed them to grow and to fester and have been feeding them. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask that your blood would cover those sins and that you would make them new in these areas of their hearts, Lord, that they would not be conformed any longer to this world, but would be transformed by renewing their minds. Lord, I pray that this evening you would reveal your will. There are some people that are just now going, that's what he wants me to do. It just now cued in and clicked that this is what he's calling to for my life. Thank you, Lord. As a matter of fact, instead of going on the down, how many of you are here and you want to stand up for victory? You see it now. You are walking by faith. You have decided there is no turning back. You are moved. Go ahead, stand up. Come on. Somebody stood up and sat down. If you now know what your battle is and you know that there's victory in Christ, that you are no longer a slave to sin, that you can walk in the Spirit, then you stand up. Because having done all to stand, stand therefore. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. You are no longer victims. There is not a victim among you. There are only victors in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. You are the head and not the tail, the beginning and not the end. You are loved and not hated. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He does know your name and he's got your address. He knows your email address. He sees everything about you and he still loves you. He loves you now. He loved you when you were ugly. He loved you when those bad things happened. He'll love you tomorrow. When you are threatened in these very areas, he will love you for all eternity. Amen? Lord, I pray that you would baptize these women afresh with your Spirit, Lord. That you would give them your strong Spirit, Lord. That they would be strengthened with all might in the inner man, Lord. That they would be rooted and grounded in love. That they would be unshakable, Lord. That nothing could snatch them from your hands. That the enemy may be the roaring lion, but you have renewed their mind and they don't have to listen to that anymore, Lord. That your Spirit will now speak. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Lord, let them know your voice. Let them hear your voice. Let your voice convict them. Let your voice ring out in your word and let your word cleanse them, Lord. Father, let them walk in newness of life. not just here tonight, but tomorrow, next week, next year, that this will be a lasting. Lord, we want to take this ground and keep this ground. Lord, we lock our shields together. We don't want to lose not one, no, not one, Lord, would leave here and find defeat, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.